Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. The rush of racing? Nothing beats it. But Chumba Casino comes close. Chumba's got fast spins, fun games, daily bonuses, and all the action you can handle. Now that's a ride. Ready to hit the throttle? Get in the driver's seat and head to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Spring is sprung, and big savings are in full bloom at Menards. Visit Menards Garden Center for everything you need to get your garden growing. Choose from hundreds of beautiful, colorful flowers, lush trees and shrubs, and everything in between. Menards Garden Center is back in bloom. Stop in today to get your garden on. Check out fresh deals happening now at Menards.
Save big money at Menards.
Back here on Darren Donica Chase on this Wednesday morning. Hope everybody's having a good day to this point. Darren McFarland, Willie Donick, and Chase McCabe with you. Let's say hello to Mike Organ from the Tennessean. He's been there for a long time. He's been there longer than the Titans have been in town. He's been there longer than the Predators have been to town. That's how long Mike Organ's been at the Tennessean. Mike, how you doing?
Good. Good. How you guys doing today?
Did that make you feel old?
Yes, you did.
Yeah, not my best intro.
Been to Tennessean as long as, since before sports started. Yes, you did.
What is going on with the high school football scene in Metro Nashville right now, from what you can tell?
Nothing. and less and less every day. I don't have any hope that there will be any games played this season, to be honest. Not after the recommendation from the health department that they not play until while virtual classes are being held. Until kids return to the classroom, the health department recommended that games not be played. And that's at least through September, which may put you in October, obviously, for your first games. The season only lasts until the latter part of October or November. So I don't know. Maybe they'll come back for three or four games, but from what I've heard, there will not be any football played this semester.
Are they still having practices? I mean, you know, the Big Ten and Pac-12 and other schools have said they're not playing in the fall, but yet a lot of them, or most, are still gathering, still practicing, still doing activities together like they are having a season. Do you know if that's going on in Metro Nashville?
Yeah, that's a good question because as of right now, they are. But from I started hearing on Monday night that what came to pass yesterday that there would not be any games played through September, and the coaches I talked to Monday night talked about how the morale was so low right now because the kids were having less and less hope that there would be any games, and they're just practicing for nothing. You don't have a game plan to put in. You don't have anything to do other than go through the fundamentals, basically, or unless you're putting in a new offense or doing some defensive stuff. But anyway, the morale was so low that coaches were starting to hope they would hear something one way or the other. They were clinging to hope that they would play games, but if not, they were hoping that they would hear that the season would be canceled so they could quit practicing because they don't feel like it's fair to put the kids through practicing with no hopes of playing.
Isn't it strange that, you know, you say all that, but yet you're still allowed to gather and practice? It's not safe to be in school. It's not safe to play on Friday nights, but yet it's safe to practice?
Yeah, it's just part of this consistent inconsistency that's out there. I covered three races at the Nashville Fairgrounds Speedway and sat next to Dr. Michael Caldwell, the health director. And after the first race, he told me, he said, you know, I thought things went pretty well, but we've got some things to work on. And this was where 2,500 fans were allowed to attend, plus all the race drivers and their teams and all that. So you've got, what, well over 3,000 people out there. So the second race, it was better. And he told me after the second race, he felt we had gone from 55 to 60% compliance to 80% compliance in terms of social distancing, wearing masks, following the guidelines, the CDC guidelines. So things were going well. After the third race, he said, at the end of the night, I was standing there with him, and I asked him how things were going. He said, my only issue right now is the pits. We haven't had people in the pits, and from what I've been able to see from here, it looks like people aren't social distancing, so we need to work on that, but that's really the only thing. This was another step forward. Then the week after that, the mayor said they couldn't have any more races. So, you know, not to get off the subject of high school football, but it all goes under the same
sure.
umbrella of the city. You have three consistent events held with 2,500 people and then, like I said, another 400 or 500 in the pits, and things are going well, and then all of a sudden the mayor says, no, that's it. You know, everything's going in the right direction, but we're not going to have any more. And the day before now, he had said that there wouldn't be any high school football allowed, any sports allowed in the city, Titans, Nashville SC, through September. So I think what happened was he had forgotten that he was allowing races at the Speedway, and he said, well, I can't allow races at the Speedway and not allow football and soccer. So I think what he did is he backtracked on the track, pardon the pun, and just said no more racing.
Right.
Because if we're not going to have football and soccer, we can't have racing, even though his own health director had said things were going well and hadn't been any problems whatsoever, and they were getting better and better and better, and he put a stop to it.
Yeah. That's where people – that's the rub with a lot of people, and I'm glad you actually pointed all that stuff out, because – it is noted and should be put out there, because it's all under the same umbrella. It may be a different sport, but it's all under the same umbrella of this topic. What is the feedback you're getting, Mike, from, you know, I'm here in Rutherford County, and this past Friday night, they're playing football games. I drive by schools.
Yeah.
I got Cedarstone in my backyard. I mean, I'm in traveling around Rutherford County every single day. They're out there practicing. They're playing games on Friday night. So what's the feedback you're getting from the schools who have been practicing and playing? My kid's in school in Rutherford County today, right now. He is in school. So what's the feedback you're getting from the other counties?
Darren, along those lines, I'm covering a game tomorrow night, which has been moved because of the weather, and at JP2, which is, 2 miles outside Davidson County,
right,
against Lipscomb Academy, which is a metro school. So, and I expect, a capacity, you know, whatever the limited capacity is, close to full there, because that's two really good football teams. Everything's going well. I mean, there were some issues that first week with some crowds, maybe some of the students not wearing their masks. I know some media went out and took some pictures of some kids not wearing their masks. But for the most part, I thought that everything went very smooth, and the counties are very happy with what's going on. The COVID numbers are going down, which, you know, that's the amazing thing, is that hasn't been stressed that much. And for this age group especially, it's so low. And I think that it's just as close to normal as we've been in 4 or 5 months in terms of Friday night, well, this week Thursday night, but weekly high school football outside Davidson County.
Talking to Mike Organ from the Tennessean. Mike, I'm looking at the Tennessean's article on this. Adrian Battle, who is the director of the Metro Schools, I think I got that title right, says, I know the importance of this experience for students and what it does to set them up for opportunities beyond high school, but their safety is still a priority. And I think sometimes we focus way too much on the kids that could go on to play at the next level. That's important. I mean, we all want to see that for as many kids as that happens for. But here's a bigger concern for me. I talked to some people that are Metro school teachers and other teachers that are teaching remotely in different areas, not Metro. Their biggest thing is the challenge of the virtual school, the Zoom classes, all of these things, is to keep the kids engaged. It's hard to keep that connection. They're doing the absolute best they can. But if you have that issue going on, and you lose the connection of being able to play your sport and connect with your teammates and your coaches, and like you said, work towards something, that goes way beyond whether you're going to play football at the next level. To me, I think that's what we're missing here in terms of this discussion and what it's worth to try to fight your way into finding a way to play this. I hope they're not giving up on this. I hope they're trying to do everything they can to find a way to play and not just take the easy, well, it's safer not to play.
Willie, I'm so glad you brought that up, and I hope that as well. Then I've got an instance that I can tell you about. I know of a kid. He's a senior outside the county. He's in Williamson County and a football player. And he's not going on to play beyond high school football. He's a senior this year. He's a high-achieving academic student. And the virtual classes are killing him. He's a kid that will not sit still in class. If he doesn't understand something, he'll speak up. He sits in the front row and he asks questions when he doesn't understand something. He's taken calculus too, and he when he has questions, he can't get to his teacher, and there's even an assistant assigned to this who he's had trouble engaging with, and it is causing him a great amount of stress. So last Wednesday, he went to take his physical for a Friday night's football game, and he failed it. He failed it because his blood pressure had reached 180. So he was rushed to Vanderbilt Hospital, and he's 5'9", 146 pounds, with about 8% body fat. So it's, you know, it's not a weight issue. So doctors are baffled by what's going on with this kid that has high blood pressure. And they start talking to him about, you know, he's eating too much salt and this kind of thing. And then they ask him about school, and he goes, yeah. He goes, I'm taking these virtual classes that I don't like. They figured out in a hurry the classes are what are causing his blood pressure to go so high. And he wasn't able to dress for his game last week. He can't take the test, his physical again, for another week, so he'll miss this week's game too. But that's not the big thing, that, you know, that he's not playing football. It's the big thing is it has affected his physical health because the virtual classes have proven to be a complete and absolute failure. And I've heard other cases, but that's probably the most extreme.
I understand the philosophy of doing the virtual classes, but I think we all know that it is a challenge. It's a challenge. And what concerns me, Mike, is I'm going to hit another cross-section of kids who, and it's not just football players. Let's take all the sports, whether it's soccer or volleyball, the other fall sports. There are a lot of kids that the sole connection that motivates them to stay a part of school, when you're in your house and it's your choice. Am I flipping on that computer? Or am I going to try to get my Wi-Fi and my Zoom ready? If I'm motivated that, hey, this is what I need to do to stay in school because I'm with my team. I want to play. You know, that's a motivating factor for a lot of kids. If you're taking that motivation away, I think you're going to have an easier way to disconnect for a lot of those students. Because I'm hearing that. That's the feedback I get from the teachers. It's hard enough to keep them engaged as it is with the virtual because you don't have that togetherness that you normally have in a class. And that's the world we're living in right now. But that to me is another reason to fight to try to find ways to keep all of it. And why just stop ourselves at sports? All of the extracurricular activities that connect everybody to their school, I think we should fight to keep those alive.
That's a great point and something I hadn't really even thought about, but I had actually witnessed because our niece comes over here. I think she's in the fifth or sixth grade. She comes to our house a couple of days a week, and I watch her in those virtual classes. And my wife has to stay on her about things, about staying engaged, because apparently they'll let them go for an hour or so, and then they're supposed to come back, and she'll get into a game online and forget to come back. And you're right. If you have something like student council or debate team or football or basketball or soccer or something like that, then yeah, you're going to be a whole lot more interested in staying engaged. That's a fantastic point. And that's another thing I don't understand is why we can't have other extracurricular activities, which are much smaller crowds and groups of kids that would be getting together. It would give them something to do. And goodness knows this is a time when they need something to do. So you bring up a fantastic point. And like I said, that's something I hadn't thought about, but I had actually witnessed myself.
Mike Organ is with us from the Tennessean as we talk high school football and what's next in Metro Nashville. In your opinion, how concerned would you be if you're a Metro coach or an athletic director about some of these kids that you know for a fact that they are going to play at the next level, and whether they're a younger kid that they're going to try and transfer and go to a private school or move out of the county or what have you. I mean, what is this going to do to the talent for the future here in Metro of these kids that are trying to play?
Chase, Tom Krieger, our preps editor, and I were talking about this yesterday. It is no secret that Metro football is struggling, and that's a big time understatement. I hesitate to call it on its last leg, but it's definitely headed to that point. We saw Glencliff's program shut down last year, and then it came back around after it shut down and was able to finish out the season. But there are many football programs, more so than not in Metro, that are way down on numbers and just having a struggle to exist, purely exist. And if they don't play football this year, I definitely feel that it will be the death knell for several of those programs. And when they do come back, they will have to come back as co-op teams, such as maybe a Glencliff and an Antioch having put together one team, a White's Creek and a Hunter's Lane putting together one team, those kinds of things, because the programs are already struggling so much. And then as far as, the talent, who would blame a kid if he went to a private school or to a outside the county to show his skills and his craft, because this is going to affect his life. I mean, this could be the difference in him getting in school and not getting in school. And that's the big unknown. And
wow,
the thing that the coaches, like I said, the coaches wanted to either be on or off at this point. But for kids like that, they want it on in some form.
Mike, you bring up something I hadn't thought about, and I'm interjecting here, but we know the TSSAA has strict rules that you can't just go to another school and play for whoever you want. Eligibility comes in. I wonder if there's any waivers that they would consider. But at this point in time, you really have a hard time seeing how they can just rewrite the rules. But that would be tough. I mean, I would think definitely if there are some kids that feel like they need to play to showcase and get an opportunity, I can certainly see where they're coming from there. But where would they go? And would they be eligible?
Yeah, and that's a good point. The TSSAA would have to step in here at that point. But people have a little bit of a misconception with the TSSAA, thinking that it's this grand body that, looks down and makes these harsh rules and then sticks to them no matter what. That's not the case. It's 12 principals and administrators from across the state who rotate on and off the board, and as far as TSSAA, it's five or six guys out here near where I live in Hermitage, that guys, men and women, that just kind of organize and keep that rolling. So these are human beings, these 12 board members, and I don't think there are any rules in place for a pandemic or for anything like this. So I could see where the TSSAA could hold an emergency meeting, the board could, and decide what to do if Metro or Memphis or Knoxville all decided they weren't going to play three of the three largest cities, if they all just decided they weren't going to continue the season. I could see something like that being a necessity.
You bring up the other cities because that's where I was going to go, that from what I can tell, I know there was a game in East Tennessee that got postponed, but Shelby County, Memphis, Davidson County, Nashville are the two largest systems that aren't playing right now. I know that Shelby County is having issues with the TSSAA for other things, but how much do you – usually Nashville and Memphis don't pay a lot of attention to one another, but how much do you think that the school systems might be talking or looking at what's going on in those districts?
Well, I hope they're talking with each other. As Darren brought up, I hope they're talking to people outside the county as well about how are things going. And it just doesn't seem like that's the case. I would hope that Memphis would be talking to the other counties, you know, in West Tennessee and Nashville with the other county, Davidson with the other counties in Middle Tennessee. But I can't imagine that taking place. I don't know how much they're talking to each other, but I don't think they're talking much to anyone other than themselves and not really listening to anyone either. They've been talking in circles and, like we said earlier in this conversation, just not being consistent with anything they've done. So to answer your question, I don't know if one is waiting on the other. That's the big question, and that's what I think what we saw in college football with the Big Ten and the SEC. We thought there would be a domino effect, which, in my opinion, thankfully didn't happen. But I think that these two are waiting on one to do the other.
Mike, thank you for shedding some light on this this topic. It's not too late. I suspect, though, it probably is. I feel horrible for all these kids if this gets wiped out for them in Metro Nashville. I think it's a disastrous decision. That's just my opinion. But I hope it's not too late. I hope that somehow this thing reverses course and they're able to pull off something for these kids in Metro Nashville. But I'm not going to hold my breath on it. But thanks for coming on.
Well, I was glad to be on, guys, unfortunately under kind of a dim situation, but it sure was good to be on with you guys, and I always enjoy listening to you guys.
Thank you, Mike. Appreciate it. Okay. Keep up the good work. That is Mike Organ at the Tennessee, and he has been there, no kidding. I don't know, what, three-plus decades at the Tennessean?
Yeah.
He's been there a long, 35 long
years.
Time. 35 years.
So covered. Longer than I've actually been around.
He's been at the Tennessean longer than you've been on this earth, covering all things Nashville. We'll come back and talk about some of the things you just heard there to wrap up the first hour of Darren, Donick, and Chase, ESPN 102.5 The Game.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. For years, Chumba's been setting the bar for online social casino fun, and it just keeps getting better. With new games released every week and daily bonuses to collect, the fun never stops. So claim your welcome bonus now at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void or prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21 plus.
Spring is sprung, and big savings are in full bloom at Menards. Visit Menards Garden Center for everything you need to get your garden growing. Choose from hundreds of beautiful, colorful flowers, lush trees and shrubs, and everything in between. Menards Garden Center is back in bloom. Stop in today to get your garden on. Check out fresh deals happening now at Menards.
Save